broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, Devon Givens with Ty Lizzulli. 610-632-0975 with you until 10 o'clock, the 6 o'clock hour. Was brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. 7 o'clock on this Monday night. Already good conversation about Ben Simmons as of right now playing a lot of power forward, exclusively, I guess, power forward during the Sixers practice sessions in Orlando inside the bubble. Shake Milton at the point guard spot. What do you guys think of the move, and how do you use Simmons? 610-632-0975. We have a Twitter poll up as well, at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter, simply asking, do you want to use Ben Simmons as a point guard, a power forward, a point forward, or a positionless basketball player? Vote again at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. We keep it moving on the phones. Get everybody involved here. Let's head to Harleysville with TJ next on The Fanatic. TJ, what's up, man?
Not much right now.
I'm doing. What's going on, man?
So, just heading home from work. Heard the stuff, so I thought I'd call in. I think Ben Simmons can be considered a positionless player. And I think that because a lot of people call in all the shows during the day, and, you know, I hear a lot of similarities between with Ben Simmons and Magic Johnson and Lamar Odom. I think what Ben Simmons is, even though he's not a great shooter, he's still a really good basketball player. And I don't care what sport you're playing, if you have someone that is, like, locked into the game, and, you know, maybe they're not good at one thing, but they're just an all-around great player, you want that person on the floor no matter what. So I don't think it matters if he's playing the point, if he's, you know, running the break, if he's on the block, if he's, you know, hopefully gets a mid-range game going in, you know, whatever. I think he is an asset to the team, and I think he makes other teams scared.
He has to be accounted for when he's on the floor, period.
Absolutely.
And we know it will help him out and the team out tremendously if he decided to shoot something from the outside and was effective doing it. But right now we know what we have in him as a basketball player, and I think you just use him at his best, as best as you can. And I laid out all my reasons. We hope Brett Brown and the coaching staff have come up with some other things. Maybe even some players have told Brett Brown, hey, you know, maybe we can look at using Ben this way. It's not a knock on the guy right now. It is a flaw in this game that he doesn't do. It hurts the team. Now let's figure out something to make sure he helps us out in a better way. He's still that player that gives you 16, 8, and 7. And hopefully that number goes up when his confidence increases and he remains aggressive.
Mm-hmm. How much would you say is mental? Just his willingness to shoot.
I think a lot of it is, yes.
So if he just shuts that off, if he's just like, I'm locked in, I want to win, just take the shot if it's open, and that's that, he'll just gain confidence.
Yes. Or do you think let me take you back to the playoffs last season, last postseason, right, TJ? Remember after everything that happened in game one against the Nets, Jimmy Butler scored like 38 or whatever he did. He went off, but they lost. Mm-hmm. And fans booed, and, you know, Simmons came out and said the things that he said. He came out in game number two from the tip. Remember, he caught the ball, got the ball off the tip, went straight to the basket. He missed it, did it again. Then he went on his run. He had the 20-plus points. He was the best player in the series going forward because he remained aggressive going to the basket, finishing at the rim, getting the assist, getting to the free throw line, all those things. That's the player that I'm talking about, TJ. If he does that, and I say it, and I know people get tired of me saying aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, but that's the way he has to be every single time they step on the floor, no matter what, in order for him to be at his best and for them to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to me like he overthinks the game a bit too. I mean, he's a very intelligent player and person, is what I think. And when you have someone like that who doesn't let their instincts take over, but lets their mind play with them, I think you see what Ben Simmons has showed us. And then those games where it's like, I'm going like full, like you said, right to mark. It was just, I'm playing the game how I play the game, you know, like I'm in my backyard or whatever, or in the driveway. Mm-hmm. Like, you see a different player.
Yep, absolutely, man. Listen, TJ, thanks for the call. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. 610-632-0975. I'm sure people do get tired of hearing me say that, but I don't think I'm wrong. That's why I say it. I continue to say aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, because if he is aggressive all of the time, then that's what you get. That's what you get. You get those opportunities at the rim. You get those free throw opportunities that we're, many of us, talk about consistently with him. That's period. I'm not creating anything here. I'm not making things up for Ben Simmons as a basketball fan. I'm not creating this part of the game for him. This is something that seems pretty simple. So the mental part that he's, TJ is talking about, 100%. It may not be to the level of Markel Fultz, but it is certainly a mental thing. And if I can send people back to that story that Jackie McMullen wrote a couple of months ago, I think it was like May, where she had that story out there, and it was speaking about him and how his high school coach said he would have benched him a long time ago. You guys know I've been calling for that. And had he benched him a long time ago, it would have really lit a fire underneath of him, because it was something that was taken away. It should not resort to that, but if that's what it would have taken, maybe this would have been resolved a long time ago. It was not. So where we are right now is where we are right now. Hopefully things start to click in. As Brett Brown pointed out one more time, he's handled it like a star. 610-632-0975. And for those who did not hear it, we'll give you that and in just a little bit, let you know what Brett Brown had to say after practice today. Chosen in Southwest, next with us on the Fanatic. Chosen.
Yo, what's up, Devon? What's going on, man?
What's happening, man?
Man, nothing much, man. You already know, man. I agree with you 100%. Like, just like what Mike Missinelli said earlier, how we were doing it before was only at the sixth seed. It wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So uh-huh. We got to switch it up, especially in this tournament style. It's something different. You know what I mean? And we got to play ball. Now, what I feel as though what we need to do is put Simmons at the four. My start lineup would be like this. You put Shake Milton. You got Richardson. You got Tobias at the three. You got Simmons at the four. And you got Embiid at the five. Now, you could throw a little mixture as far as the point forward with Simmons. He got to do that dirty work now. He got to grab them boards. He got to get hungry. And like you said, nothing is better than an aggressive Simmons, because when he's aggressive, he can do his thing. So you let him get some dirty points, and say if he grabbed the board, then you out, fast break. And then he can do that point guard thing how we do. But as far as in the half court set, you go with Shake Milton. And listen, Simmons got to grow up, man, and be on the grown man. Get down there, grab them boards, and play hard, and play D, and do what he's been doing.
And we know he's a great rebounder, so now we're talking about a great rebounder that's someone playing on the offensive rebound, getting those offensive rebound opportunities, and possibly getting a layup or a dunk because of
exactly,
it.
Exactly. And like you said, he can do that little, you know, when he down low a little bit, that little right hook or left hook,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, grab dunks off of the rebound. Or, see, one thing with him that pisses me off still, he still don't take a, just shoot straight up mid-range. He always fading away, he always
yep.
going to the left and
yep.
to the right. It's like, dog, just straight up and just shoot it regular. You don't have to do all that fading away and all that, because that's what mess you up every time.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We always ask, stop fading, straight up jumper, and it'll help you out. But that's the confidence part that TJ was talking about, Chosen, that he has to get over that. He has to overcome that in order for that to happen, in my opinion.
Exactly. And that takes coaching. So we will see what happens. Now, I try to stay positive. I hope that with this different style, with this tournament style thing that's going on, and maybe we can catch fire and come together as a team, and maybe the chemistry will mix. Because if you remember that interview that Tobias had did, he was talking how, you know, the chemistry wasn't always all that good for a little second.
Yeah.
So hopefully this happens, and you got to bring Horford off the bench. I know he don't like that, but he can still get the same amount of minutes and still ball out. Like, we need him to come off of the bench, and he'll still get some minutes with the starters too. You know what I mean? If somebody gets tired or foul trouble or whatever the case may be.
Yep, absolutely, man. Listen, thanks for the call, Chosen. Appreciate it as always. Let's see what happens, man. We'll talk to you once the season gets underway. 610-632-0975. We keep it now in West Philly with Claude on the Fanatic. Claude, what's going on?
What's up, Devon? What's happening, brother?
Oh, not much, man. Not much.
I heard all that Ben Aid. I had to jump in.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Had a little sense, man. Listen, man. If people don't sit here and watch ball, you can see that basketball is trending to this positionless player tip anyway. You got P.J. Tucker playing center and what you call the middle.
Houston.
Yeah. In Houston now. You know what I'm saying? So this is kind of what teams are trending to. I'm not saying I always agree with that, but these are the kind of players that teams are looking for. And I think Ben, he excels at so many different things in the court. People get so lost and caught up in a jump shot. Now, let's be real. We know that's the natural evolution of his game. That's what he needs to take his game to the next level. But you can't just take that his flaw in that area and just dismiss him as a total factor in the basketball game. Anybody who watches this dude play understand that he has to be accounted for anytime he's on the court. So for people to come out and just dismiss him and act like, oh, he's a bum and this and that, and I'm not trying to take nothing from Shake, because I followed you for a minute, Devon, and you always speaking up about Shake. I like Shake coming out. He showed some glimpses early in the season. Then he got hurt. Then he had to work his way back into rotation. But then as everybody got hurt, he started showing, you see the progression again, like, okay. But I'm still not 100% convinced because the sample size is so small. I have no problem with him starting at point guard for sure. I think he has an option that the Sixers hasn't had in some time with a legitimate kind of point guard that can shoot the ball, you know. And we had these other guys kind of filling in. We had Ben coming in there. TJ couldn't shoot it. Redick was a two guard. He couldn't really handle the ball. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy was like, you know, when we had Jimmy doing in the playoffs, you know, Jimmy could shoot it mid-range more than anything, but he was willing to shoot it from 3-2.
Right.
So, I mean, my position is this. Ben is a basketball player. Period. Put him out there, let him play. Bottom line, I think you can't take away from what Shake can add to the team. You can't take what Shake can add to the team and then use that as a way to dismiss or kind of come at Simmons. It's good for the basketball team in general. If Shake can continue to hit the shot at somewhat of the clip he's been hitting at, it bodes great for us. You know what I mean? But Ben is going to have to handle that ball at times, and he's going to still have to play that point guard for his point four, whatever the heck you want to call it.
Right.
And Horford's going to have to come in there and play that four at times, too. So, I mean, just take it as a win for the team. We got a player that stepped up and showed that he can play ball and shoot that shot, and that's better for the team as a whole. What I want from Ben, shoot the shot when you're open. That's it. You know, don't sit there and hesitate. I know he's not there yet, and we know he's got to eventually get there, but I'm not all bent on the three. Mid-range is great for me. If you can just, when people pass you that ball, make yourself a threat. Look at Russell Westbrook. He's not a great three-point shooter, but the fact that he shoots it and people know he's a threat to shoot it, they got to respect it, especially at the end of the game. And that's what you want to become, and it's going to open a whole, all these driving lanes up for you once people start running out to that little jump shot.
Yeah, and all I was saying to Claude when it came to Shake was, he's a second-year player.
Right.
He started the last, 8 games since after the All-Star break on the 2nd, January 24th, and he had an okay game. I mean, he only had 7 points. They won that game. Then he went to Cleveland. They lost that when he had 20. The Knicks, 19. That's when he exploded after that one with the Clippers. But it's a different game in the playoffs. It's not a knock on Shake Milton.
Exactly.
It's not
right.
a knock on Shake Milton. It's just, hey, everyone goes through it. Matisse Thybulle was about to go through the same thing.
Look at Jeremy Lin and Lynn Sanity. That fell off real quick, didn't it? Don't fall in over your head. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that Shake can't be a good player, because I think he can be a really good player and help this team, but let's just see it happen before we automatically crown him as the point guard straight up going forward. I hope so, for real, I do. But, you know, let's not get, you know, head over heels right now. Let's think logically. You know, in a bigger sample size, make it in the playoffs where the defense is tighter, everyone's playing more aggressively, and let's see if you can make them shots when they count.
Absolutely, Claude. Good to hear from you, man. Thanks for the call.
Always,
we'll be talking
always,
to you during the
Devon.
Season, man. Yep. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And again, the playoffs, it's a different animal. The rotation shortens. You're scouting. You're on since these last 7 games. Let me say the last nine, because he had a 17-point game against at Milwaukee. That's when they got blown out, I think. 17 points at Milwaukee. Followed that up with the seven points against the Atlanta Hawks. Started that one. That's the string that where he started starting those games. 17, 7, 20, 19, 39. Exploded, right? 12, 20 against Sacramento when they lost. No, they won that one. 14 against Golden State. 12 when they played the Detroit Pistons when they came home. 5 of 11 from the floor, 4 assists, 2 turnovers. The one thing outside of the points that has really stood out, outside of the Laker game, when again, after that Clipper game, all eyes on Shake, right? Embiid is going to do what Embiid is going to do. All eyes on Shake. He had 5 turnovers in that game because the defense was amplified against him. It was picked up. The scouting report, again, Shake Milton, watch him on a pick and roll. Make sure you show when he goes around that pick and roll. Hedge up a little bit. Take him away from that. Don't let anything happen. He was 4 of 9 against the Lakers in that game, which is not bad, but it's a totally different game from the 14 to 20 he had against the Clippers, 7 of 9 from deep. Shot 33% from deep, 2 of 6 against the Lakers. But again, you're on the scouting report. So now that you are in the starting lineup, you will be looked at and viewed differently in the postseason when it picks up a great deal. And if these guys, and I'm not saying he can't, I contend when things were happening, Simmons out, I wanted him to stay in the starting lineup. When the season was put on hold, I wanted him to stay in the starting lineup. I obviously didn't think we would be talking about it in August, in July and August. I thought we would be back in May or at least June and hope that they got back out there. This way we can see Shake back out there on the floor. But here we are. The head coach has decided that based on the practices so far, it's working. Simmons off the ball. Let's see what he can do. Both of them. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli. Until 10 here on the Fanatic. We go to Oak Lane with Hank on the Fanatic next. What's up, Hank?
Hey, Devon, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
I'm good, yo. I'm loving this move. I'm hoping that it does fit.
Okay.
The way I kind of look at it, I seen Shake in the beginning of the season when he was playing. And, I mean, he didn't show too much, and I know he got injured. But yes. I could kind of look at his game, and I could tell, like, all right, he got a little something. So, and now, like, you're saying that he's in his second year. I'm just looking at him like, look, the more he play, the more experience he get under his belt, and he's like, the ball probably going to get bad later on. So, I mean, I'm glad that he's running. And the thing about putting him at the point and taking Ben off, and there's nothing against Ben. I like Ben, but I feel like without that jump shot and you're trying to be the point guard, you're not letting the defense initiate at that three-point area or even – you know, and I don't even want Ben to take a three-pointer. I just want him to take, like, at least, like, a 15-footer. But because he don't shoot the three, and if he calls for a pick, like, it's easy to defend him because you're like, okay, well, you just go into the pick and just get right back in front of him. With Shake running in the half court, it works out because now, you know, you have to kind of – you have to play him differently, which means that it opens up the floor, and the more that he sees it, the better he's going to get. In terms of what his position Ben is, like, I'm kind of like up in the air. Like, at first I was saying he was positionless, but I keep saying to myself, like, hey, he's not a 2 or 3.
No, he's not.
I mean, I guess you still could be positionless without playing the 2 and the 3, but I'm not sure. Like, how do you look at it?
I look at him as a positionless player right now because of the things that you talked about with him being so versatile with the other things that he does so well. You just use him as a screener. Use him as someone who was going to roam along the baseline, cut into the middle of the paint and flash and show. Use him as someone, again, with the ball in his hands where he does have a slower defender on him. Let's not forget that they are going to put him in situations where they try to get a better matchup with a center. If Embiid get him in those spots, now all of a sudden he has a mismatch and he can use his speed off the dribble and taking that guy to the basket. So there are those things, and that's why I say in this particular case, Hank, without the jump shot, that he's positionless.
Yeah, and I'm also looking at how Jokic, when he gets the ball, if you give Ben the ball maybe 15 feet from the basket, and you got people that's getting off the ball picks or just rolling, Ben is going to find them. So I feel like he's still going to get his assist.
Yep.
So I love the move, and I think that it's going to be better for him, and it's going to up his game. I know it's going to. So.
I hope so, man. Listen, I really hope so. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, Hank. We'll talk to you soon, 610-632-0975. To me, it's simple, and I know people don't like. I know Jay is on hold, and he's been talking about this for a long time, taking him off the ball, right? And there have been others who have been talking about it plenty, and I know they'll call in. D was one of them to start. He actually started off the show, taking the ball out of his hands exclusively, not even exclusively, just taking it out of his hands as the primary all of the time. Go back to the draft. Go back to the draft. Markelle Fultz. It's fine. Get him. When we go back to that draft, outside of Jason Tatum, my number one other guy was Dennis Smith. So why would I frown at Shake Milton getting this opportunity when I also see the possibility of Ben Simmons doing something on the floor positively with the ball not in his hands? He's still fluid. He's elusive. He has the Euro step. He has the power. He's added this weight to him now during this time off where he can overpower some of those smaller defenders. He can. We've seen it. We need to see it more. How do you use him is my question to you all. 610-632-0975. It is something that is an experiment right now. Let's see if it lasts. We said this at the very top. Brown is saying this now. Will it change? We will find out. Because if it does not work and Shake does not have success, what are your other options? Are you going to start? Are you going to start Raul Neto? Probably not. Right? Probably not. Are you going to start Matisse Thybulle and have Josh Richardson handling the ball? No. It's either Shake or Ben that will have the pill for a majority of the game. 610-632-0975. How do you use Ben Simmons? And do you like it? We'll get an update from the Twitter poll on the other side from Tyler Zuli. We'll give you those options and see what you guys think. 610-632-0975. One open phone line since we've gotten underway at 6. Join us as we run until 10 talking Simmons here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.975 The Fanatic 7:29 on this Monday night, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. The 7 o'clock hour brought to you as always by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with 3 locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com to join us. 610-632-0975. We had one caller drop just as we were returning, so a line has opened up. 610-632-0975. Steve, Aaron, Jay, Drew, Corey, I want you guys, if you have not heard Brett Brown, why we are talking about this, why we are talking about Simmons with the power forward position right now labeled to his name, attached to his name, and Shake Milton as the point guard. Brett Brown spoke after practice via Zoom inside the bubble. Keith Pompey with the question. Here is Brett Brown's response.
The last few days, I played him you know, exclusively as a four-man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so dynamic, to your point. Like, let's just talk about running. There's nobody faster in the NBA. And so to always have Ben have to have the ball and dribble it up, you know, against five guys after made baskets especially, to do that, I think, dilutes some of his potent weapon, speed. And so watching him fly up the floor, watching Joel and him play off each other has been a really good look. I think that they've been fantastic together.
And that's something that I cannot wait to see, because if he's saying they're fantastic together, how? That's why we are asking the question, how are you going to use Ben Simmons? How are they fantastic together? Screen and roll, right? Because that's all Ben can do. He can roll to the basket, but do you really want him screening for your center? We know Embiid can screen and roll, pick and pop.
Well, wasn't it Ben Simmons that mentioned that used the phrase pick and pop? Or was it Brett Brown?
For Ben?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, one of the two of them said pick and pop, and you and I looked at each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because I was like, pick and pop? Yeah. It's not popping anyway.
That's exactly what, that was both of our first thoughts, was the pop was, you know, you got to shoot.
Yeah. Listen, that one I need to see. That one I need to see. I've said, as we started things off, that I would really like for him to be used. Said this before, have had discussions with you all about it. Speaking with my cousin, who he and I are going back and forth via text right now about this during the break. And my thing has been, look at what Draymond Green has done in the offense. Yes, yes, I'm not naive. I know he's had the shooters in his offense. What I am talking about is, yes, the shooters that you have, let's say Korkmaz is out there, Harris, Richardson, and Shake. But I'm also looking at him being in the middle of the floor where the ball is not in his hands and the attention is on him all the time. Defenders can get lost within the flow of the 24-second shot clock. And if Ben is flashing to the top of the key, right around that elbow extended area, we've seen Draymond Green not as a mid-range jump shooter, but as a guy who is a lobber from that area to Bogut, Durant, Iguodala, Livingston. Those guys over the top. And you have enough athletic guys, if you initiate your offense and devise things within the offense to flow, to have those backdoor lobs, to throw over the top to Joel Embiid. Not for an alley-oop, because we don't see those often. Just simply a nice touch pass that leads him right to the basket. Catch it high. Don't bring the ball down, big fella. Keep it high. Go up. Get a bucket and one, dunk on somebody, do whatever screaming you want to do, go to the free throw line, knock it down. Right? Now they're going to continue to think about that if you keep doing that. Throw it over the top. Fake it. They're going to shade right down to him. All you do is put the ball on the floor. We've seen Green do this with the Warriors. Put the ball on the floor one, two times and go finish at the rim. Simmons is more athletic than Draymond Green. That's because of the decision-making that he makes within the half-court set and the flow of the offense with other players. Why not? Tell me why not. Outside of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. 610-632-0975 in our poll on 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitter. We ask the question, how to use Ben Simmons. Tyler, what's the update?
Yes, we have a little bit over 400 votes right now. So you said it. Should Ben Simmons be played as strictly a power forward, strictly a point guard, a point forward, or a positionless player? Point forward still in the lead. It's gone down a couple of percentage points, though. It's at 45%. A positionless player at 36%. Strictly as a power forward, 11%. Strictly as a point guard, 7%.
No one wants him handling the rock strictly as a point guard anymore. Okay. And if you say point forward, I need to know what's a point forward for you guys. What's a point forward for you guys? Because, I've said that I want it as someone who is a positionless guy that can just do a lot of different things. Roaming along the baseline, flashing to the middle of the paint, scoring that way, still initiating that way, popping out from time to time, running his man off of Embiid where he is the recipient of a lob. Joel Embiid at the free throw line. Well, we've seen him as somebody who can soft touch over the top to 6'10 Ben Simmons, quick layup, reverse layup, layup on the same side, jump hook. It's not like we haven't seen it before. 610-632-0975. Let's head to the Northeast with Steve next on the Fanatic. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Devon. Love your show, man.
Thank you, man.
Hey, Devon, I originally called because I was angry when I thought I heard one of our callers say that Shake Milton had a better handle than Ben Simmons. That's insane. But, Devon, I'm kind of against it. But while I'm on hold listening, I'm kind of like, you know, giving in a little bit. Devon, I think Ben Simmons had one of his best seasons as a Sixer this year.
He started slow and he picked up late.
When the big fella went out,
yes.
The run he had, we're not even talking about that. He's a first team defender. Like, I mean, he can lock. I put Ben Simmons on anybody in this league and be comfortable. But, and I'm not throwing shade at Shake.
Shake
belongs in this league. But like I just heard you say, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. Now, I hope he does good being a Sixers fan. But I just think with the season that Ben's having, I think this team is built for the playoffs, so let's just see what happens. I know he gets the jump shot. If they're going to slack off him in the playoffs and he ain't going to shoot it, I don't know what we're going to do there. So I guess it would help for that, you think?
Yes, I believe so. And it's all about, of course, we've seen the wall in the postseason, right, Steve? We've seen it that way where he's kind of taken himself out, where he's been non-existent.
Well, quick question.
Yeah.
You think with him not bringing the rock up, you think that'll be he'll disappear even more?
No, I don't, because you're going to use him as a screen man a lot of time. And B will be number one as a screener, and I think Simmons will be number two as that other screen man and how he does it. But this league is a lot of dribble handoff, Steve, so there will be those times where he comes up and maybe takes the ball from Shake Milton. And Shake is now someone who's going to shade out, fade to the right. They're going to pay attention to Simmons because of his ability to put the ball on the floor and maybe use his speed to get by someone. Next thing you know, Shake is on the wing for an open three-point opportunity or catch and go because the guy's trying to close out and run him off that three-point line. So I don't think so, as long as you have to get everyone involved. So we're looking at Harris, Richardson, and Embiid as well. But I think Ben Simmons, if Brown is right with what they've done during this time off and evaluating what they did wrong on the road, which we saw mostly where they played at their worst, if they figure that stuff out, then I'm guessing that they can use him.
Right. I just feel like the Ben haters are kind of taking this as a demotion, and I called in to defend Ben a little bit. Like,
yeah,
wait a minute.
We got that early, yeah.
And one more thing, Devon, I'll hang up. What do you think is going to be in the plus, 8 or 9, the rotation? Like, who's out?
I think
Mike Scott's out?
I think that's something that will kind of fluctuate, Steve. Especially depending on who the matchup is. Is he going to go where he needs Furkan Korkmaz and the shooting is not there? Now he has to take him out. And he might go Mike Scott because of the veteran presence, the fact that he's been there, hit big shots in the playoffs against the Nets, the physical toughness that he might bring to the table. Will Matisse Thybulle hold up as a young player in the postseason where he might lose some minutes? So I think he wants to give everyone, Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson, you got those guys for the stretch and the postseason. Furkan Korkmaz as your one known shooter, Mike Scott as well, and then Al Horford. We can't forget about it, right? He's going to probably be the first guy to come off the bench.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes. You take it easy. I appreciate you.
You too, man. Thanks for the call. I think that's something that's just going to change from time to time. Yes, it's going to be a primary 8-9, but we've seen Brett Brown go 8-9 and then dig deep into his rotation. We've seen him like Game 7. Of the Raptors series, right? Game 7. He went 8. But he went 8 with Greg Monroe played like 2 minutes. Right, Ty? He played like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was
so
but he did play.
He went 7. Flat out went 7. And, of course, that's the deeper part of the playoffs. That's what you have to do. But round 1, here's the thing, too. Here's the thing, too, Steve, with the rotation. When we've seen this rotation, they were the better team every time in round 1. They were the 3 seed with a very good chance of advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. They can move up to the four seed, and they have a pretty good schedule. Second easiest schedule with the eight seeding games once the regular season resumes. They can move up to the four spot. Are they going to be better than the Miami Heat if they move up there? I think they're already better than the Miami Heat. They're just in the sixth spot. Boston, pretty equal to me. They can both beat one another in a series. The Sixers have always been, in the first round, the better team, Miami and Brooklyn, the two matchups. They are not the favorite right now against the Celtics, although people do feel confident against the Celtics that the Sixers can take them down, myself included. But I would not be shocked if the Celtics took them down either. Kemba Walker is now healthy, just like Simmons is healthy. So while we talk about Simmons being healthy, Embiid also being healthy, we have to give the Celtics that as well, where their star player and Kemba Walker, the all-star, is healthy. Yes, you can get him in defensive matchups that could be problematic for him. They're going to put him on Shake Milton. He's not going to be guarding Ben Simmons. That's going to be Brown or Tatum. You see where it goes from there. Will Harris win his matchup against Gordon Hayward? Will Richardson win his matchup against either Brown or Tatum, who can take him on the low block even though he's a nice defender? The best player in that series has to be Joel Embiid, where he flat out destroys Tice and Cantor. 610-632-0975.
I don't have a whole lot to add. You're 100% correct. There is, at no point, I don't think at any point, even when you get to the Western Conference, that Joel Embiid should be not be the best center in any game they play. Period. Jokic would be the only one that comes close, and I think he's better than Jokic.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's a by a margin because he allows himself to be better by a margin. They both find themselves out of shape. His passing is superior. Jokic, defensively though, Embiid is the best two-way big man in the game.
I would agree.
Between he and Davis. Davis obviously stepped it up because he is with the Los Angeles Lakers. We can't have this mess anymore. That he's, even though he was great with the Pelicans, he has raised his level to be the great player that we knew he could be with LeBron James and the Lakers. Back to the phones we go. Aaron in Drexel Hill. What's up, man?
Divine.
Yo.
I don't get it.
You don't like it.
This is why I get frustrated with this team, this organization, and this coach, man. Listen. The unlogical thought, right? You put Ben at the four. Who is he going to be guarded by?
All right, are we talking Celtics? Let's just talk Celtics right now. Celtics.
I'm just talking about period.
Let's go to an ideal matchup. Right now it's going to be the Celtics. Forget about the regular season. Let's go with the Celtics.
So let's go with the Celtics. So
he's going to be defended by, in my opinion, I think they put Jaylen Brown on him first.
Jaylen Brown. Okay, so you have Jaylen Brown on him, which means the rest of your team, especially at the wing position, all falls in line in the same place. So that means the same person that everybody's so hype about being in the starting lineup, and I'm happy for Shake, but everybody's so hype about Shake being in the starting lineup, that means now Shake is going to be out there playing against Kemba Walker. Who do you think will win that matchup?
Kemba Walker.
Exactly. And it really don't matter what team. The problem with playing Ben at the four is you take away what is our advantage. Right now, Ben at the one, you have Ben's size and weight as an advantage, Joel's size and weight as an advantage, and then playing Tobias at the four, his speed versus other fours and his shooting ability as an advantage. The moment you move Ben to the four, you completely take that away. Now, I get what everybody's saying in regards to taking the ball out of Ben's hands. I have always been a component of aggressive Ben, know when not to be aggressive Ben, right? Mm-hmm. So aggressive Ben knows when the lane is wide open, Joel happens to already popped out or whatever case be, you attack because nobody's going to stay in front of you, especially if you're talking about a wing player or a point guard who happened to get switched on you at the point in time, right? And then the time that you say, Ben, don't attack, Ben then can easily pass the ball to somebody and dart to the rim, get himself into post position against any wing player in the league. Once you play him at the four, you completely eliminate that. Because number one, the league already knows, we know, he's not a shooter. So as a four man, I'm not guarding up against it. It's the same thing like guarding Giannis, right? If I'm a big guarding Giannis, what do? I back all the way up off of Giannis. I force Giannis to have to come into my body in order to win. Where Giannis was always able to take advantage of, teams was like, oh, well, he's so fast, he's so quick, let's put a wing player on him. Mistake, because he was bigger than wing players and longer than wing players. So he was able to dominate. Which is why when we play against him and Joel sticks him, he doesn't do so well. When anybody else gets on him, he terrorizes them. It's the most illogical thought. And I don't understand, Brett Brown. I don't understand how you can't see that way. If you wanted to get more shooting, you have other options. And another thing, Shake, I appreciate all he did because I actually liked him when he was at SMU. I was happy we drafted him. Mm-hmm. Shake looked good because there wasn't too much film on him, right? So you didn't really know what you were dealing with.
Scouting report.
Now you're asking him to come in and be in the starting lineup routinely. Now you also have to think about, if he's in your starting lineup, with Ben, who's playing backup point? Now, reality
back, backup,
is...
Backup to Shake?
Just backup point, period.
That's where I think this goes, Aaron. I think that's when Ben Simmons will take over primarily as the backup point guard to Shake Milton.
So then that means you have Ben on the court, and I love...
Because you know what he does. He takes them out at like the 6 minute, 7-6 minute mark. I would think that Embiid and Shake will come out first. Someone else will come into the game. Let's say Al Horford and Furkan Korkmaz. And now you have Ben running things with Tobias Harris, Furkan Korkmaz, Al Horford, and Josh Richardson.
So to me, that says your best defender is now left on the court a whole bunch of times. Your best ball handler, playmaker, is left on the court a whole bunch of times. He's going to be the one that's going to get tired a lot more easier.
He doesn't get tired. I give him that. He does not get tired.
He doesn't, but we're also talking about playoff basketball, right? And we're talking about him guarding every team's best wing player. Yeah. That's what he's going to do.
Yep.
That's what he's going to do. So that means he has a lot going on. And I just feel that once you move him to the four, you eliminate every advantage that we ever create. And before you cut me off real quick, 2 years ago when we played against the Boston Celtics, and everybody referenced this particular series, the reason why Ben didn't look good is because outside of Ben and Joel, everybody on that team was nothing but spot-up shooters. Nobody was able to create for themselves, which is why the following year when you got Jimmy Butler, it looked a little bit better because you now had an additional person that if the team decided to trap like Toronto did, take their best defender, Kawhi, put him on Ben Simmons,
yep.
Then that means you had somebody else who was able to create themselves. The moment you move into the four, you take the ball out of his hands, now you don't have that advantage anymore.
Well, look, I thought it worked with Jimmy Butler. You just needed more aggressive Ben Simmons when he was. Listen, great call, Aaron. Appreciate it, man. Thanks. We'll talk to you. When Butler had the ball in his hands, when Simmons was moved to the four in the Brooklyn series in game one, after things stopped working for them in game one, it worked even though they lost the game because he didn't assert himself more. He wasn't aggressive enough. Then the same thing with the Raptors. Wasn't aggressive enough. Sometimes you would see it where we would get those tweets, right? Oh, Ben's going for it early, but then he'll disappear in quarter number four. So it's about him. And Aaron, you alluded to it. Knowing when to be aggressive and when not to be aggressive. That's the key. But again, if you know who you are as aggressive Ben Simmons, and that's the best Ben Simmons, you pick your spots when you do it throughout the game. Minute one, obviously do that. Then you just keep going forward and doing your part and making sure that you are the best player out there, the best version of yourself. I don't think it's a mistake because you're still going to see him as the one. And we'll get into the matchup. I love that stuff. So we'll get into the Celtics matchup as, we were just talking about that with Aaron. But let's go to the phones right now and go to Jay in West Philly. Jay, what's going on? You've been calling for this for a long time, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now explain why this was the move.
Because it'll loosen up the offense. Like, I'm tired of...
Now, you just heard Aaron say it's a mistake and it won't help the offense. But go ahead.
I don't see how it won't help the offense. He's closer to the basket. That's all he do is shoot 5 feet and in. So, you got to open up the floor. Like, it's hurting Joe, like, on offense. It's like they playing six dudes against us because his guy's sitting in the lap, sitting in our lap. Like, I'll argue with anybody all day. That draft, we should have took Brandon Ingram. He's a better fit because our best player is Joel Embiid. Everybody is fascinated with Ben talking about he could do all this and that. And what I've been telling you, the same thing you said, he's an athletic Draymond Green.
And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you win games and as long as you play to your strengths as that athletic Draymond Green.
If you don't have the shooters, if you don't have the shooters around them, that's where they clog up the lane. If we had better shooters, you would see Joe would be more dominant than he already is. Like, but he catch the ball and guys are sitting in his lap all day long because Ben won't shoot.
Yeah, but you can't say hold on, Jay. But you can't say better shooters and you know point out Simmons specifically when you need to talk about Richardson or Harris or even Shake or Furkan Korkmaz not being consistent enough and making their shots to make Embiid better. Well, Simmons is one player. I don't think he changes that entire thing. They get shots. They get good looks. They got to knock them down.
Yeah, but they just got the shooters. That's why I say with Draymond.
But I'm saying that's not Ben, though. That's not Ben, though. So you're right. So Draymond looks better because of them. That's him with them. But that's not Simmons when he does make a good pass like Draymond and they don't knock it down. That's not his fault.
I know, but if he's so much better and athletic, he should be. If he just attempted to take the shot, you know how much better he would be and how much.
Of course. Of course. Draymond doesn't even shoot it anymore and he's still good.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. For this guy to be on the radar since he was 15, like, I don't understand his basketball IQ. You're right. He's a positionless player because he can't and won't shoot. So there's nowhere for him to be.
But it doesn't mean he's not good, though.
Listen, Jay,
we have these talks all the time, right, and I can have these conversations with you about things that he needs to do. Why do I got to pull teeth to get you to say he does something well?
What does he do well?
A lot.
What? I'm trying to figure out. If you take
passing, of course, passing number one, that's his number one strength. The fact that he can handle the ball well enough, I think he can improve his handle, but handle the ball well enough.
Improve his handle.
Yeah, of course he can.
But when he plays against good defensive players, you see it. Kawhi, what? 11 turnovers. He had a 1-point game in the playoffs.
And I destroy him when he does stuff like that.
But that's all the time whenever we play good teams.
All right, so we're going to see. Do I not call him out when he plays bad against these people?
Yeah, I agree.
Yes or no? You listen, you call.
Yeah, I said I agree. You do that. You're probably the only person in the city that does it. And that's what I said. But I don't see where all his hype is because he hurts the team.
I know you don't see the hype. Well, listen, man, we gotta take a break. But listen, Jay, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it as always. Listen, we got three open phone lines for the first time. 610-632-0975. We'll continue with Jay's point. We'll talk about what Aaron mentioned about the matchup once the playoffs begin, since he doesn't like it. And we'll get to Aaron and King of Prussia, Drew and Westchester, Corey and Philly, and you. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.